When we arrived at the theater, Randy and Tony were already there, along with about 10,000 elves. The theater, like everything else in this joint, was massive, almost stadium-like in its size. But the throng of elves had it stuffed to the rafters. I scanned the crowd for non-elves. Nova was there, along with Mary and Steve, Mr. Weathers, Elf One, and the Billings family, except for Mrs. Billings.
Okay, am I right, Harv, that Santana, Mrs. Billings, and the Councilwoman are missing?
Correct. It seems you may have been right not to trust Weathers.
To quote a friend, of course.
I don't like this.
All the doors in the room suddenly slid shut behind us.
I really don't like this.
Elf One came running up to us.
Where's Santana? She told me she'd be here to address us live.
A giant screen came rolling down the ceiling in front of the stage.
I don't know, but I have a feeling we'll know in a nano.
A 3D image of Councilwoman Weathers appeared on the screen, smiling. Behind her sat Santana. They were in some sort of control room. In the background, we could see Mrs. Billings, who had a laser to the heads of Norp and Bim.
I have great news for all of you. Thanks to your diligent work, the holiday has been saved despite the efforts of the two behind me. In fact, I have used my influence to declare the holiday will begin right now. For details, I'll turn the floor over to my special friend, Santana.
My elves, I want to thank you all for your service. Thanks to you, the world is going to be a better place. Thanks to you, everybody in the world will be happy, whether they want to be or not.
Even though the elves kept up their cheering, I noticed some of them stopped and looked a little worried.
Every present delivered tonight will contain not one, but two different viruses.
Now about half the elves were listening intently to what Santana was saying.
The first virus was developed right here, and it will stimulate the pleasure centers of the brain. The need to be naughty will be gone. The second virus, developed by our friends from Mars, will make the entire population of Earth sterile in three generations.
You're going to wipe out humanity?
No. Humanity won't be wiped out. They'll just be forced to clone their future generations. My elves are clones, and you can plainly see what great beings they are.
Some of the elves nodded their heads in agreement. Others looked on in total confusion.
Let me get this straight. You plan not only to force everybody to be happy, but you're also planning on making humanity forget about sex and have to clone to survive.
Yes, that sums up my plan nicely. Being naughty is a great distraction. With that eliminated, think of the greatness humans will achieve.
What about those of us trapped in here?
You will also be made happy and sterile. We will be pumping the gas in shortly.
How will the happy gas affect the elves? We're already happy and sterile.
Oh, that's the best part. With everybody in the world now happy 24/7, we won't need the holiday any longer, and your services won't be needed. So I'm terminating you all. This combination of gases is deadly to elves. You've done your duty to the world, but now you become extraneous. So I expect you to fulfill your obligation and die. I'm granting you all the rest you so deserve. The teleporting of presents will begin in an hour. I want to thank you all once again for the role you played in making the world a better place.
Mrs. Billings tossed us a kiss. The holographic screen dissipated.
Harv, block all outgoing transmissions.
Right. I don't believe my own wife is going to sterilize me.
I looked over to see it was Mr. Weathers doing the complaining.
I am so going to complain about this the next time we see our marriage advisor.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Mrs. Billings is no prize either. She's going to sterilize her entire family.
Little Billy walked up to me.
Excuse me. No, she isn't.
Huh?
We're already sterile.
Little Billy lifted off his head, revealing his android circuitry. His sister and father did the same. Then, they all fell to the ground.
Somehow, I doubt this plan was a spur-of-the-moment kind of thing.
I'm gonna kill her.
If we get out of here, you're gonna have to stand in line to kill her, Carl. Harv, how come you didn't notice they were androids? Harv?
I never scanned them.
Any idea why?
Zack, I don't scan everybody you meet. That would just be rude. They had normal skin tones, so I assumed they were normal humans, not illegal androids.
Elf 2 came running up to me.
Oh, Zack, this is a marketing nightmare, destroying the world as we know it.
Don't worry, we're gonna stop them.
What can I do?
Keep the others calm. Tell them that everything is under control.
You mean lie? I can't lie.
You're in marketing, of course you can.
Zack, we don't lie. We just promote a semblance of the truth.
Well, go do your thing then.
Right.
She gave me a salute and headed back into the throng of elves. I turned my attention back to my team. We need to find a way out of here.
Let's blast our way out.
Tony drew a weapon he had under his shirt.
Impossible. The doors are sheer plexi steel. Impossible to blast or shoot through.
Why would anybody put plexi steel doors on an auditorium?
Before the remodeling, this used to be the main transporter room.
Are there any transporter pads left in here?
There's one backstage, but I'm sure it's deactivated.
Think you could activate it, Randy?
I'll probably have to use some chips from your eye lens to power it up, but I can do it.
How can you say that without looking at it?
Just take us to it. If Randy says he can, he can.
Dr. Poole, the boarding software the elves use is very advanced. It allows teleportation from a port pad to another area, even if it doesn't have a port pad.
You're not supposed to know that.
Let's look at the big picture here, Elf One. And no hard feelings about our little scuffles.
Of course not.
Elf One led us down a long aisle. We rushed past the stage and then behind it. There it was, an old 5-person transporter pad and panel. Randy hit the control panel on the top, and the panel popped open. He looked in.
I have good news and bad news.
Good news first.
I can make it work.
Bad news?
I think I can only make it work once. And I can't guarantee where it will put you. There will be no backup system.
Which means?
Which means I think I can find an empty hallway to port you into. But I can't guarantee it. There is no collision detection software.
That means if you're off, we can teleport into a wall or a passing bot.
Yeah, it'll have to do. Randy walked over to me. He pulled a small pair of tweezer-like things from his pocket and stuck them in my eye.
I'll need some of the chips from the lens. The connection will still function, only Harv won't be able to see from your eye anymore.
He popped the chips out. He carefully walked over to the porter and placed them in the machine. While Randy tinkered, the rest of us made plans.
Elf One, how long before Santana will be ready to teleport her special gifts to the world?
We've done most of the prep work already. The presents and their coordinates are already stored in warehouses throughout the pole. The delivery process is all done via the pole's own teleportation software. Once the process starts, we can teleport packages to everybody in the world in 24 hours.
That type of teleportation must take massive amounts of energy.
Yes, we have our own nuclear generators below the surface.
Maybe we could take those out.
We all just stared at him. Sometimes Tony lets his gung-ho attitude get in the way of his logic. He thought about what he had said.
Yeah. Even if we weren't trapped in here, taking out nuclear generators probably isn't the best plan.
We'll put that one on the back burner.
The computers!
We saw the Eatmans and Nova coming to join our assemblage.
My husband's right.
Mary Eatman pointed to me.
All the elves are buzzing about how you're wearing a highly advanced computer on your eye. Use it!
Elf One put his hands behind his back.
That's impossible. Our computer systems have firewall after firewall, and each of those is e-wrapped in e-razor wire, surrounded by emotes, which are guarded by more firewalls.
I know. I helped design those systems. Between my knowledge and Elf One's knowledge, I am sure we could get Zack's computer past the security and bog down their system with a virus.
But if I did that, I'd be betraying Santana. I could never, ever do that.
She's perfectly willing to kill you and all you stand for.
Perhaps never ever is too strong a sentiment.
Nova walked over and started slowly rubbing Elf One's back.
You don't want to die, do you? You have so much to live for.
I do enjoy being naughty as much as the next elf. More, in fact, given my responsibilities. Let's stop the bitch!
The only problem, well, not the only problem, but the most pressing, was that Randy was using my eye interface with Harv to hotwire the teleporter. We'd need my communicator to interface Harv with a pole system. I started removing the communicator from my wrist.
Randy, can Harv handle interfacing with the system and powering the teleporter?
Of course. Harv could do that and pilot 1,222 hovers backward through rush hour traffic.
I was fine with just the of course. I handed the communicator to Elf-1. He and Steve went over to a side interface and plugged Harv in. Elf-1 hit the side of the unit, and a keyboard popped out.
I've got Harv in. Perfect timing. I've got the teleporter working now, I think.
You think?
I've never done this before. I didn't have time to run a simulation, but I'm pretty certain it will work and not get you all killed.
Not the most ringing of endorsements, but it was good enough for me. I walked over to a pad and stood on it.
Okay, we have room for four more.
Electra, Tony, Elf-1, and Nova joined me on the pads.
Elf-1, are you sure about this?
Nova smiled at him, and his face lit up like the old-fashioned 4th of July fireworks.
I've never been surer about anything in my life. Santana has betrayed us all.
Okay, I'm ready.
Harv and Elf-1 downloaded schematics of the pool into the teleporter. The plan was for Randy to teleport us to a hallway just around the corner from the main control area that Santana, Weathers, and Ma Billings were occupying. It was far enough away so they couldn't see us, but close enough to give us a chance to stop them, as long as we moved fast.
Remember, gang, we don't have much time. Elf-1, you're gonna have to get us straight to the control room as fast as possible.
Check!
The next thing I knew, I was standing in a hallway with Tony next to me. We both drew our weapons and looked around.
Where are the others?
I don't know, Tony. I just got here.
My guess would be transporter malfunction.
Are the others okay? Harv, I asked you a question.
Sorry, Zack, I don't know. The chips Randy used must have been damaged. In my crippled state, I've lost all contact with the people inside the theater.
Can you repair it?
Maybe, but it will take some time.
Das!
Tony brought up his gun and aimed it at the guard bot heading straight for us.
Come on, we have a job to do. There's nothing we can do standing around here worrying. I'm sure they're all okay.
I hate it when you're right. Okay, Harv, give us the fastest route to the control panel.
Two more bots behind us. You take the one on the left, I'll take the one on the right.
The recycle bin with that.
I pointed my gun down the hall and aimed.
Gun. Multi, Merv, explode. Harv, what's the quickest route to the main control room?
That all depends on where you are.
You don't know?
I'm blind now, Zack, remember? Describe your location.
We're in a long white hallway with a red stripe on the floor. No windows, no doors, no nothing. We see only hall as far as we can see.
That's no help. You just described roughly 34.41% of this place. What about the Maybot storage closets? They're all numbered.
Good idea.
I hope you're talking to Harv and haven't lost it.
I started kicking the lower part of the walls.
What are you doing?
Looking for a closet down here.
What can I do to help?
Start banging!
Tony bent down and started searching the other walls.
Two things, Zack. One, I hear more guard bots coming down the hall.
I looked down the hall, then I pointed my gun down the hall.
Gun, multi, big bang. What's the second thing, Harv?
I might be able to zap your brain, charge of that sixth sense of yours. It might give us a clue as to where the closet is.
Fine. Desperate times call for strange actions.
You're not very good with sayings, are you?
My head started to tingle. I smiled. I walked about 3 meters up from Tony. Nothing happened.
Tweet me. I was sure this was the spot.
Well, now what are you doing?
I've charged up my brain to help me find the Maybot storage closet, but it's not here.
Maybe your mind is like your golf drive, always off to the left a bit.
I moved a little to the right.
Can't believe that worked.
Tony ran up to me and gave me cover while I looked at the closet.
So, where are these things labeled?
How should I know? Do I look like a Maybot to you?
I found a little label in the corner.
All I see here is the number 000000011.
Okay, I got your location. Go down the hall to your left. Tell me when you come into an intersection.
We ran down the hallway with our guns drawn.
How far away are we, Harv?
Not very. Randy teleported you fairly close to where he was aiming. Don't worry.
How come whenever you say that, it sends a chill up my spine?
We reached an intersection.
Now what?
Hang a left. The main control room is 100 meters straight down the hall.
As soon as I stepped into the intersection, I was hit by a laser blast to the shoulder. I dropped my gun from the force of the blow and staggered back against the wall. My suit now had a nice hole in it, but my armor took the brunt of the damage.
They were waiting for us.
A bot circled around the corner.
Doesn't take a mastermind to figure out where we were headed.
Is it bad?
Well, it would be if Elektra hadn't brought my Under Armor.
It sounds like there are at least 10 other guard bots in the hall on both sides. It seems this is where they are planning to stop you.
They have us pinned down. If we try to move into the hallway, they'll blow us away.
Harv, what about a different route?
No way. Even if there was one, it would take way too long.
More bots!
Tony pointed to the other end of the hallway. He opened fire, but missed.
Ah!
The bot's return fire hit Tony in the leg. He dropped his gun and fell to the floor. This was bad. Real bad. Pinned down in an open hallway by guard bots. I needed an idea. A good idea, and fast. I didn't even have my gun. It was lying there in the middle of the hallway, right in the intersection. That's when it hit me.
Tony, cling as close as you can to the wall.
I followed my own advice.
Gun! Spin 45 degrees right. Fire big boom. Spin 45 degrees right. Fire big boom. Spin 90 degrees right. Fire big boom. Program, execute.
After a few nanos, I looked down the hallway. The bots had been destroyed. I moved away from the wall. I peeked down the intersection, first right, then left. The place looked like a robot graveyard.
Do I do good work or what?
I picked up my gun.
I'm amazed.
No need to be. My gun makes state-of-the-art look like last year's news.
No, I'm amazed you got the angles right. You're terrible at geometry.
Thanks. Are you okay?
He showed me his leg wound. It was ugly, at least 2 centimeters long, and just as wide. Red wasn't Tony's color.
I won't be going dancing tonight.
Looks like I'll have to finish this one without you, buddy.
At least drag me out into the intersection where I can cover you.
Sorry, Tony. You'd be a sitting duck for any guard bots that might wander by. I think right now my best course of action would be a good old-fashioned head-on charge.
I patted him on the shoulder. I ran into the intersection, ready to fire at a moment's notice.
Zack, I know I've brought this topic up many, many times before, but shouldn't we at least pretend to have a little plan?
Why bother? If we don't have any idea what we're doing, there's no way the bad guys can have any idea what we're doing.
I ran straight toward the control room door. As I closed in, I lowered my shoulder and rammed it. Much to my surprise, I smashed right through. I was now in the control room, lying on my stomach. Mrs. Billings was sitting on a chair holding a laser to Bim and Norp's heads. Councilwoman Weathers was there, along with Santana. Weathers walked over and picked up my gun.
My, you make an impressive entrance.
She aimed my gun at me.
Have you ever thought of going into politics?
I looked up. I could see one screen showing the theater filling with glass, and another showing Tony lying on the floor bleeding.
I would, but the pay's kinda lousy.
Weathers sneered at me. It was the first time I'd seen that look from such a polished politician.
My husband's right. You are an annoying little gnat.
We all have our roles.
Zack, I'm getting odd readings from Weathers.
Not now, Harv. Can't you see I'm in the middle of witty banter with a bad girl?
Zack, I haven't seen these readings since Sexy Sprockets. She's a psi, an augmented psi.
Now that was a kick in the gut I wasn't expecting. The councilwoman walked over to me, bent down, and lifted me up by my throat.
So the little computer in your brain figured out what they made me into.
I nodded. That was about all I could do. Her grip was strong, exceedingly strong. She had to be using her psi powers to augment her strength. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Santana moving toward us. She put a hand on Weather's arm.
Stormy, there's no need to kill Zack. There's nothing he can do to stop us.
No. But it would be fun.
Killing is wrong.
You're killing all your elves.
No, the gas is doing that. They're useless now anyhow. The rest will do them good.
Weathers released her grip on my throat, letting me drop to the ground. Santana approached me as I pushed myself up to my knees. My throat felt like it had been stuck in an atomic vice, but I wasn't about to let Weathers know that. Santana knelt down, meeting me halfway.
Zack, I'm sorry about that.
She helped me to my feet.
Stormy just really believes in our work here.
Your work here? This isn't work. It's a maniacal attempt to reshape the world in your deranged image.
6 of 1, 6 of the other.
I looked over at Ma Billings, still holding the weapon on Bim and Norp.
What's a nice country girl like you got to do with all this?
They needed my robotics expertise to help program the holiday launch. I truly believe in my heart the world will be a better place this way.
Why are you holding Norp and Bim?
They are still useful to us. Their knowledge of robots is as impressive as their lack of social skills is scary. Plus, they'll make great scapegoats on the off chance that something goes wrong and our plans get delayed. We will just blame them. On the off chance something happens to them, I have the evil couple from Eggshell to blame.
Wow, pretty impressive. You three have thought of everything.
Actually, Stormy thought of most of it.
Yes, this was all Stormy's brilliant idea.
What's the deal with a fake Billings family? Pretty impressive work.
Thank you. I do believe they were my best yet.
Well, it figures H-Tech would have their hands in this.
Silly man, I no longer work for H-Tech. I work for the World Council now.
So then, this is just a big World Council plot?
Those fools think of something this creative? I think not. They are perfectly happy with the status quo and keeping their nice, safe, soft jobs. I thought of this while recuperating from my crash. I executed it on my own. With some help from my friends, of course.
Nothing wrong with help from your friends. Unless, of course, they're helping you destroy the world.
You say destroy. I say improve.
One thing was for sure. If I was going to stop this, I was going to need a lot of help from my friends. Right then, my best tactic was to stall, giving my team time to clog the system with a virus. It's never a good sign when your best technique is to delay and pray for a miracle. But I was hoping inspiration would strike me. The people of Earth love both of you. I pointed first to Weathers and then Santana.
They will love us more after we are done with them.
Santana nodded her agreement. So far, this wasn't going too well.
Hey, what about me?
I'm sure they'd like you too if they get to know you. But face it, when you're on with this crowd... I pointed to Weathers and Santana again. You, dear Ma, are fourth string. Ma Billings dropped her guard. She moved her gun away from Bim and Norp and aimed it at me. She wasn't threatening me with it, she was just using it as a pointing device. It was as if she'd forgotten she had a gun in her hand. Obviously, she wasn't used to brandishing weapons. Bim and Norp surprised me by taking advantage of Ma Billings' mental lapse. They moved forward, Bim grabbing for her gun as Norp tackled her knees. Shockingly, they were able to bring Billings down and wrestle the gun away from her. Bim smiled loosely as he trained the gun first on Santana and then on Weathers.
Now we get to really be heroes. Norp, I'll keep them covered while you power down the transporters.
Norp had his hands full trying to stay on top of a very feisty Ma Billings.
I don't think that's going to be an option. Why not have Zack cover them while you power down the borders?
Share the glory. Interesting concept.
Hey, no glory to share, buddy. I'll give it all to you guys. I just want to make sure the world stays like it is. It may not be the best possible world. It's unsystematic and filled with pain and violence. But it's also filled with lots of good things, like random acts of kindness, baseball, HV, love, tacos, and sex. I'll do anything to stop yet another couple of crazy ladies from shaping the world into their distorted view of perfection.
Oh, so now you think you're better than us, Mr. High and Mighty Zachary Nixon Johnson. He saved the world so many times. He doesn't need to do it again.
Now it was Bim's turn to forget the weapon he was holding in his hand. He put the gun to his side and pointed at me with his free hand.
Listen here.
Bim was out cold and on the floor before he even knew what hit him.
Oh, I knew this wasn't going to turn out well.
Santana shifted her attention to Norp, spinning toward him and kicking him in the stomach. It was back to me against the three, but I guess there was never any real doubt that it would come down to this. At least Bim and Norp had given me a little more time to formulate a plan.
I'm hoping you have a plan.
It's formulating as we speak. How's it going inside the auditorium?
I haven't regained contact with them yet. That part of me is very weak.
How's it going with jamming the transport system?
The elves were very efficient in building their firewalls. They are more like bomb bunkers buried hundreds of kilometers below the surface and covered with lead. It's actually quite impressive.
Harv?
Don't worry, Zack. I'll get through. I just need time.
Unfortunately, time was one of the many things we were running oh so short of right now. I studied Santana, Billings, and Weathers studying me. Apparently, the efforts of my thinking really hard were visible on my face.
Is he having some sort of a stroke?
He's probably thinking to the computer he has wired to his brain.
He has a computer wired to his brain? That would explain a lot. Gee, I thought Bim and Norp were the geeks.
Having a computer wired to my brain does not make me a geek.
He's more of a geek skinny pig.
Weathers moved forward and put a hand on my shoulder.
Actually, Zack, I can relate to your being a guinea pig. I wasn't always a Psi.
The World Council augmented you?
They employed the services of that sleaze named Sammy Smiles. I understand you are familiar with his work?
Yeah, I know Sammy.
It was 20 years ago, and I was a junior council member. I was chosen to volunteer for the test. In those early days, Sammy hadn't perfected his radiation technique, so he used injections. Painful injections. He succeeded in turning me into a Psi, but I'm not a normal Psi. I'm more of an empathy Psi.
An empathy Psi?
I can't outright control people, because if I could, believe me, you'd be my poodle now. Sammy always said it was because I was subconsciously suppressing my power, but I think he was just covering his skinny little ass. The bottom line is, I can't directly control people, but I can broadcast my emotions to them.
So you make them think like you?
I make them feel they like me. Of course, the more exposure they have to me, the more they do start to like me. There are times when these powers are handy for a politician to have.
As my mouth was calmly stalling, my brain was frantically scanning the room, searching for a way out of this. I noticed that Weather still had my gun in her hand. If I could get her to point the gun at me, I would be able to take her out. It was a drastic move, but I didn't see a lot of other choices. If she was willing to pull the trigger on me, I had to be willing to do the same to her.
Okay, this is your last chance. I order you to give up now, or I'm gonna have to hurt you.
Please, Mr. Johnson.
Call me Zack.
Please, Zack. You are in no position to be making any demands or threats.
Not a demand or a threat, just a fact.
Zack, I'm picking up your thoughts. I know you want me to try to shoot you with your own gun.
She dropped my gun to the ground. She walked over to me, and in a familiar move, picked me up off the ground by the throat. She pushed me back, pinning me to the wall.
I'm not your standard issue politician. I like to do my dirty work for myself.
Her grip was quickly cutting off the blood to my brain. I'd be out cold fast if I didn't do something faster. If I went under, all would be lost.
Zack, I do believe blue is your color.
Stormy, do you really need to kill Zack?
Yes.
Suddenly, Weather's arm tore from her socket, and I fell to the floor. I turned toward the shot to see Tony sitting there in the hallway smiling and holding a smoking gun. I looked back at Weathers. She was stunned. It wasn't the pain of having her arm ripped off that had stymied Weathers, but what the shot had revealed. Where her arm had been, there was circuitry, loads and loads of circuitry. She put a good hand over the shot, not to stop the blood because there wasn't any, but to cover up her parts.
Aw, Tweet. Your arms are bionic.
No. No, they're not.
I held up my hand and pointed to my gun.
Gun, come to Papa.
It shot across the floor and into my open hand. I aimed it at Weathers.
The game's over. Bionic or not, this gun has enough firepower to rip apart a battle bot.
They did this to me.
The Council?
I stood up, but never letting any of them forget I was the one holding the high-powered gun that I was very comfortable using.
Of course it was them. After their little experiment in making me a Psi, they couldn't risk losing me to something as trivial as an accident.
So they gave you bionic parts?
No. I have already told you that. I am not bionic. Bionics would be too simple for them.
She reached down to her midsection, and with her remaining arm, grabbed the material of her pantsuit and ripped off a patch, exposing her skin. She tapped the bare spot 3 times with her index finger. The skin popped up, showing her underbelly was all circuits.
They took my brain and inserted it into another body. An android body.
Why didn't they just clone you a new body?
They told me that human bodies break. I was now considered too valuable.
But you've been aging.
My system is designed to simulate aging. My skin tone, eyes, and hair color are adjustable.
Her hair started cycling through all the various colors. First blonde, then brunette, then redhead.
If ever I wanted to go out and paint the town red incognito, I'd use my brunette hair and smooth my skin. Nobody would recognize me.
Her hair turned back to the more familiar frost color.
This, of course, is my favorite color, as this is the color my human hair would be if I were still human.
Why are you telling us all this?
I wanted you to understand my motives for remaking the world. They made me in the image they thought best. Now I'm going to pay everybody back.
Yeah, well, that's not gonna happen.
No, it's not. That's why I've decided to kill you and destroy the pole instead.
Her one good arm stretched out and clobbered me right in the gut. My armor took the brunt of the attack, so much so that I didn't even drop my gun. Her next moves, though, caught me off guard. She darted toward the door, running through the open doorway. As she raced down the hall, Tony fired at her, but she literally ran along the side walls and then the ceilings, avoiding his shots until she was past him. I turned my attention and my gun to Santana and Ma Billing.
What's your move?
They both shook their heads and rubbed their eyes.
It's like I've been asleep and dreaming all this time.
By Gates, I built myself a robotic family? To be a maniacal cyborg politician's minions?
Zack, their mental readings are normal now. Weathers must have given up her control over them.
I wasn't nearly as happy about that as I thought I should be. First, Weathers had made the confession, and now this. I didn't like this one bit.
She's gonna kill herself.
That's odd.
We've just gone to auxiliary power.
Why?
Somebody is channeling all the pole's energy into the main reactors.
Oh, that's not good at all.
She's gonna kill herself and take us out with her.
And a good part of the Northern Hemisphere.
Where's the reactor?
Reactors.
Okay, where are the reactors?
2 kilometers under the surface. And there is only one elevator that leads down there.
I suppose she's killed that elevator. Ma Billings looked at a reading on a panel and nodded yes. Of course she has.
Release the elves and our visitors from the theater. We can at least start teleporting them to safety.
We can release them, but nobody's being teleported too far. The councilwoman has rerouted all the energy to the reactors. We can barely power up one teleporter.
Then reroute them.
I'm trying.
Before too long, we were all gathered in the control room, brainstorming a way to stop Councilwoman Stormy Weathers, the most trusted being on Earth, from destroying a good portion of the planet. Elf One, Randy, and Ma Billings were scanning the panels and displays lining the walls in hope of finding something.
How much longer before weather causes the reactors to blow?
Best guess, between 30 and 90 minutes.
Why don't we teleport a team down there to stop her?
Even if we had the energy to teleport, it's 2 kilometers beneath the ground and heavily shielded. Plus, the generators really mess up teleporting. Teleporting down there is close to suicide. You're far more likely to end up in a wall.
We have to take that chance. I'd rather die doing something than sitting here waiting to be blown up.
We can teleport her out of there.
Even if we could get a lock on her, which we can't, we don't have the energy to do it.
You know, for an elf, you're a bit of a downer.
Sorry. Imminent death makes me crabby.
Then I'll go down and take her out.
Even if that fancy gun could stop her, you have no way down there.
There is a surface elevator. It's manually powered.
Elf One stopped his mad scanning of the panels.
How could I forget about that? It must be the pressure of death. We elves aren't built for this kind of stress. We're used to deadlines, not deathlines.
How big is the elevator?
It's just big enough for 2.
Who's going with me to be my added muscle?
I'll go.
I looked over to a vid screen linked with Tony in the infirmary.
No. I appreciate the spirit, buddy, but you're wounded.
I'll go. This is the time for a warrior.
In that case, I should go.
I'm security chief. I should go.
There is only one logical choice.
Okay. I'll do it.
Bim stood up and puffed out his chest. Everybody in the room turned to him.
Maybe not.
He sunk back into his chair.
I have to go with Zack. I know the building, I know the reactor, and I know Weathers. Plus, nothing personal. But I'm stronger than all of you put together.
Now it was Nova's turn to puff out her chest.
I don't know about that.
Please, I could pass wind in your general direction and you wouldn't know it hit you.
Don't test her, she could.
That's part of the reason why I avoid gassy foods.
Okay, that's enough for me.
I moved forward and took Santana's arm.
Actually, that's too much information. Let's go stop a madwoman from destroying the Earth.
It's amazing how often I have to say that. The emergency service elevator that led down to the reactors was a small metal box. I tried hard not to think of it as a coffin with a hand crank. I could feel the elevator slowly descending.
I estimate we have 15 minutes and 22 seconds to stop Weathers before the damage to the core becomes irreversible.
Can you be more exact?
Years ago, I would have answered that, but now I realize it is your attempt at humor to relieve the tension of the moment.
What tension?
We're only traveling several kilometers below the Earth in a tin box to stop a Krazosai android from nuking the pole.
See? I recognize that as another attempt at humor.
Just another average day in the life of Zachary Nixon Johnson, the last freelance PI in the world.
I was hoping that freelance PIs weren't about to become extinct. I looked over at Santana manning the hand crank. She was working hard. The sweat on her forehead looked like a fractal forming.
How much longer till we're there?
When we stop, we're there.
Just making small talk.
Sorry, Zach. I'm a bit on edge. I helped create this situation. And if we can't...
Can't isn't in my vocabulary.
She smiled at me with her eyes as much as her mouth. I popped my gun into my hand. I wanted to make sure I had my super high impact ordnance.
You can't be thinking about using your explosive ammo down there.
Hey, I just said can't isn't in my vocabulary.
Zach, if a stray explosive shot should hit one of the reactor's controllers...
It's only as a last-ditch backup. If I figure we're gonna bite it anyhow, I want to do it on my own terms.
After a few long minutes of traveling in the silence, I felt the elevator jerk to a stop. I looked over at Santana. She returned my look.
Are you ready?
This bitch played me.
She made a fist and walked over to the door.
Now, it's time for payback.
The reactor room was a cavernous area with vast arching ceilings. I would have been impressed if our lives weren't hanging on a thread. There were long glowing tubes running up, down, and throughout the walls of the room. Following the tubes with my eyes, I saw they all originated from the bases of two objects that were each about 3 meters tall and looked like upside-down ice cream cones balancing a giant pulsating egg. Those had to be the reactors. They looked like a deranged high-tech cross between a spider and an octopus, only with way more arms. The place had an ominous air about it. There, sitting at the control panel between the cones, was Councilwoman Weathers. As we drew closer to the not-so-good Councilwoman, we could see that there were beams of energy flowing from her remaining hand into a control panel. For her part, she didn't seem surprised to see us.
I hate you so much, Zachary Nixon Johnson. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't have to do all this.
I pointed my gun at her.
You've lost me.
If you didn't stop BB Star, or Fora Thompson, or your niece Carol from destroying the world, none of this would be necessary. That's why I hate you. That's why I tried to have you killed.
Yeah, you're the one who sent the first bots after me.
And the assassin posing as an SS member. I never thought you could actually stop me. I just wanted to kill you for the sake of killing you.
So you tipped off the real SSS too?
Yep. Just to piss you off.
What did I ever do to you?
Think about it, annoying man. You keep saving the world as we know it. I hate the world as we know it. Therefore, I hate you. That's why I didn't want you to be a part of my new world order. I wanted you dead.
You encouraged the geeks to try to kill me.
I didn't need to. They were perfectly willing to do the job for me. That's why I didn't crush the nerds. I knew they couldn't stop me, but I thought they might be able to stop you.
Well, I'm harder to kill than most people think.
Yes, well, that's all atomic water under the bridge now.
It's all over, Councilwoman. There's nowhere for you to run now.
I'm not here to run. I'm here to die. Like I should have done all those years ago.
There's no need to take everybody else out with you.
I started to move slowly closer. She looked me in the eyes.
I admit it is petty. This way, I take you out as well as a good portion of the Northern Hemisphere. That's sure to create all sorts of havoc.
Disconnect yourself from the reactors, now!
Weathers gave Santana a dismissive roll of the eyes, causing the reactors to glow more.
Your charm doesn't work on me. I deserve to die, and die big.
I pulled back the trigger on my gun. I turned on the laser sight. The sight's red beam fixed between Weathers' eyes.
Fine, I'll give you your wish.
You don't kill humans, Zach.
You're not human.
Ah, but there's a catch. My brain is human.
She had me on that one. I loathe killing humans, and the death of one would save the lives of many. I didn't think I had much of a choice.
Zach, shooting her is not going to help the situation. She's got herself so wired into the reactor that if something happens to her, it blows.
Yeah, but if nothing happens to her, it still blows, right?
I admit there aren't a lot of optional choices here. Killing her now will kill us all sooner.
I thought about what Harv said. Sure death right now, as opposed to reasonably sure death a few nanos from now. I decided to see how this played out and hoped for a break. I really didn't like the idea of killing Weathers for the sake of killing Weathers. There had to be a way out of this.
Hart, can you break our control over the reactors?
It doesn't matter.
Why not?
We were now close enough to reach out and touch Weathers.
Oh, my gates. You're channeling all the reactor's energy into yourself.
That's right. I am the bomb.
Hart, can you override her?
Perhaps, but I'd have to get into the system.
How do you do that?
My transfer chip is damaged but still functional, though you need to make eye contact with her.
I started moving closer to Weathers.
Of course, with our eye lens drained like it is, I'm not sure this is going to work. You need to get real close.
It was too late to turn back, and even if it wasn't, I didn't see any other options. I locked my eyes on Weathers' eyes. She met my gaze with a steady calm. It was the look of a person who'd made a decision and was pleased with it.
Oh, please, Zack. You're not going to try to talk me out of this.
Killing at the very least thousands of people and upsetting the eco balance of the Earth just because you weren't allowed to die. That doesn't seem like a fitting end to your career.
Actually, it is quite fitting. And I get to kill you.
Hard to argue with that logic. I was hoping I wouldn't have to. A beam of light shot from my eye into Weather's right eye. She stood up and pointed at me.
That's it. Trying to override me? Boom! You're all dead. Now! What?
I'm in. I have control, but I don't know for how long. She's fighting me.
Can I blast her safely now?
Yes, that would be advisable if you plan on living past the next few minutes. I can't hold her for long.
Before I have the chance to pull the trigger, Weather's one good arm lashed out and grabbed my gun away from me. She looked at me and smiled, raised the gun, and crushed it.
Having a super android body does have its perks.
Santana, who had been seething up to this point, leapt into action. She dove across the room and hit Weathers low like a linebacker trying to bring down a fullback. The two tumbled to the ground and started rolling away from me.
Zack, do something fast. I'm getting busy.
I ran toward them. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do, but I knew I'd have to be in the middle of the ruckus. For their part, Santana and Weathers were exchanging headbutts and body blows. It was a brawl that reminded me of those old staged pro wrestling matches I used to watch as a kid. The ones where the contender and the champ would slug it out and knock each other past silly, until one of them was proudly holding the fake championship belt over his head.
The belt!
As I ran, I reached down and felt the teleportation belt I was still wearing. I removed it as I drew closer to the battling base. If I got it wrapped around her, I could port her out of there.
Santana, get off of her!
But I'm winning!
Santana threw a nasty right cross to Weather's face.
Ouch! That really hurt.
If she blows, nobody wins.
Good point.
Before Santana had a chance to do anything else, Weathers wriggled a leg free and kicked Santana straight in the solar plexus. The bionic kick sent Santana flying across the room and crashing to the ground.
Take that, bitch.
That wasn't a good omen at all. Weathers pushed herself to an upright position and smiled. She wiped a bit of simulated blood from her lip. I lunged forward and wrapped the belt around Weathers' waist. She looked at the belt.
That doesn't really match my outfit.
She grabbed me by the throat, hoisted me up over her head again, and started to squeeze.
Nice try. But I'm not teleporting anywhere. I am sending you to meet your maker.
Continuing with my plan, I kicked out at Weathers. It glanced harmlessly off her bionic abs.
Is that the best you can do? Even if I was a normal human female, that kick wouldn't have hurt. I'm going to take such pleasure in personally killing you before I blow everything up. I should have known never to let bots, assassins, elves, and nerds do a politician's job.
That kick was pretty lame. If you weren't out to be killed, I'd suggest you work on strengthening your legs.
Like a typical politician, Weathers was missing the bigger picture here. I rocked back and pushed my legs forward again, this time tilting my foot slightly toward the belt. Weathers disappeared. And I fell to the ground. I waited for a big boom. Nothing happened. I took that as a really good sign.
Harv, are you there? Tell the elves I used the belt to port her out. Harv?
I'm here, and she's gone.
Where's Weathers? Do they have her in custody?
Near as I can tell, she rematerialized about a K inside that wall.
That wasn't my intent.
Santana walked over to me and put a hand on my shoulder.
I know,
Zack.
It was my intent.
What?
Zack, I was in that woman's mind. She was hurting so much and had been for decades. I made a last nano change in the coordinates. It was the perfect solution. She dies and everybody else lives.
I was dumbstruck. Harv, for better or for worse, had become more human. He had killed. As the days passed, things cleared up. The holiday came and went off without a hitch. Ma Billings and her android family, and even Norp and Bim, went home. Nova moved to the pole to help Elf One. Most of the world had no idea how close they'd come to not only losing the holiday, but losing the top half of the Earth. The official story from the World Council was that Councilwoman Weathers died in a tragic teleporting accident on a Mercy mission to Mars. She was to go down in history as one of the greatest leaders of our time. I've been around long enough to understand that history isn't what really happened. It's what enough people either believe happened or want to believe happened. Stormy Weathers was mourned by all. Well, maybe not all, but those who knew better were told to shut up or else. For the good of the world, of course. I hope that the Council learned something from this entire ordeal, though my history with them suggests that they didn't. I may be many things, but one of them is not being so stupid as to mess with the World Council, especially since I had no proof of anything I just experienced. Harv had records, but he wasn't talking. In fact, Harv made it clear he wanted to put the entire matter behind him. He didn't want to forget about it. He couldn't forget about it. He just didn't want to talk about it.
Wow, it's hard to believe it's been 2 months since you guys saved the holiday and the pole.
Yeah, I've gone 8 weeks without somebody or something attacking or trying to kill me. I believe that's a personal record.
Actually, you've gone 80 days, which is a new record for you.
How are you holding up?
I'm fine. Contrary to popular belief, I don't enjoy it when people are trying to kill me.
So you keep telling us, but I was talking to Harv.
Him?
Me?
You took a life. That has to weigh on you.
Please, I'm fine. I did her a favor. I granted her wish. I'm a hologram. I have no weight and feel no weight.
I can tell you're still not over it. I can feel it.
I'm a machine. You can't sense anything from me.
You're connected to Zack's brain, and his brain is an open book to me. I can feel your pain through him.
How can you feel his pain? I can't feel it.
You're a man.
A very dense man.
Randy's like Harv's dad, and he isn't worried. In fact, he told me he's proud of the choice Harv made, and he's happy I didn't get in the way to muck it up.
Right. When dealing with emotions, Randy may not be the standard I should be setting my gauges by. I leave you two to work it out.
I sat back in my chair. I turned my attention from the game to my friend Harv. I wasn't sure how I could have missed it. Maybe I didn't want to see it.
So, it's really bothering you?
I've replayed the events over 10 billion times in my memory. I went over all the options. I truly believe I did what's best for all. Weathers finally has her peace, and the world is safe. Her husband Carl has taken over her position on the council, and we know he's not bright enough to cause any trouble.
And what's the problem?
I don't feel as right as I should.
You shouldn't.
I shouldn't feel as right as I should? Zack, that's confusing, even for you. You're smiling? I'm confused for the first time in my life, and you're smiling?
Yes, Harv, I am.
Why? Are you enjoying my pain?
Don't you see, Harv? Randy's experiment has worked. You've become more than just a complex information source. You made a choice.
Whoopee, I made a choice.
A very human choice. One based on feelings as well as facts.
Oh.
Harv slumped over, put his elbows on the desk, and his head in his hands. It was a very un-Harv-like pose. Even his bow tie wasn't perfectly straight.
This is what it feels like to be human? To be so unsure of yourself?
That pretty much sums it up.
I don't think I like this feeling, but I can't be sure of it.
The world can't be summed up by either true or false, one or zero, on or off, right or wrong. There are an infinite number of possibilities that exist in between. No being, machine, or combination of the two can figure them all out.
Yes, I understand that now. It doesn't make me feel any better.
It's not supposed to make you feel better.
You know, since you're the real human here, I would expect you to be better at this comforting thing.
Trust me, Harv. You will feel better.
When?
I have no idea, but you will. There's one thing that we humans are really good at. rationalizing away our negative feelings. Time will make you feel better.
Oh, please. That is so cliché.
Maybe so, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
This really is what it's like to be human?
I'm afraid so.
It's amazing that more humans aren't trying to become machines. Virtual life is so much simpler.
Life itself doesn't have to be that complicated, my friend. The trick is figuring out what you can figure out, and not to sweat too much about the rest.
Have you accomplished that yet?
I'm working on it, buddy. I'm working on it.
I'm sure I'll figure it out before you. After all, I am the most advanced cognitive processor in the known worlds.
So you keep telling me. It's not a competition, Harv. Or at least it shouldn't be. Life is easier when we all cooperate.
You're probably right.
A holographic backgammon board appeared on my desk.
We can still compete in backgammon, correct?
Hey, nothing wrong with a little friendly competition to keep the mind sharp.
Great. You have a lunch date with Electra in 32 minutes and 12 seconds, giving us more than enough time for me to beat you in 2 games of backgammon. Ooh, make that 3. This game isn't going to take that long.
They say whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I'm not sure if that's true, but if it is, then I'm in pretty good shape. After all, the universe and my best bud, who happens to be a computer, both love beating up on me. I wasn't sure what'd be next on my plate. Truthfully, I was in no hurry to find out. I just knew that when the time came, and it would come again, I would be ready. My name is Zachary Nixon Johnson, and I have a strange life. The really strange part is that I wouldn't have it any other way.
The Frost-Haired Vixen is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2006 by John Zakor. Recorded by arrangement with Daw Books, Incorporated. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, David Coyne, Yasmin Toison, Stephen Carpenter, Alyssa Wilmoth, Sherry Berg, Danny Gavigan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Casey Platt, Nora Ashrati, Lily Beacon, Michael Glenn, Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, Nanette Savard, Joe Brack, Terrence Aselford, Thomas Keegan, Tracy Oliveira, Katie Karkoff, Joel David Santner, James Konacek, Faith Potts, Nathaniel Perry, Gary Tells, Thomas Penny, Mort Shelby, Nick DePinto, Bradley Smith, and Eric Messner. Directed and adapted for Graphic Audio by Nathaniel Perry. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed The Frost-Haired Vixen, be sure to look for the next episode in the Nuclear Bombshell series, The Blue-Haired Bombshell, available at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
What is the meaning of this?
No, Galatinov will leave this place alive.
You goddamn dogs!
Mother! Run, Mikhail! Run!
Get the boy!
Father?
I'm not your father, boy. Why do you persist in calling to ghosts?
Oh, you want to go home?
You are home.
Lieutenant Colonel Vogt, please come in.
I don't have much time. Field Marshal Rommel is waiting. I assume these are up to the minute?
Yes, sir.
We'll all toast the success of Panzer Army Africa on the banks of the Nile. Heil Hitler. Mein Gott.
Help me! Help me!
Kill it!
Hold up! Hurry! We've got to stop that beast! Go! Run it down!
It knows.
That man knows. We're in a minefield!
Shall I wait here, sir?
Yes, for now.
So Gallatin served with distinction in North Africa? That was 2 years ago. If he's been out of service since then, what makes you people think he can handle the job?
Because Major Gallatin is a professional. Major?
Come in.
Couldn't have picked a more desolate place, could you?
I couldn't find one. I am retired.
But, sir, can we at least brief you on what the mission involves?
All right.
There's an American agent in Paris.
Adams is code name.
Your intelligence boys got a coded message from Adam a little more than 2 weeks ago. He said there's something big in the works. He was being watched, and he had information that had to be brought out of France by personal courier.
By 90 days after D-Day, we're planning on having more than 1 million boys over there to kick Hitler's ass. And we'd sure better know what's in the Nazis' hand.
Death. I'm sorry. Find someone else.
But sir...
I said I retired.
Let's talk, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Michael, I want you to go to Paris.
Is it that vital?
Yes. If the Gestapo's watching Adam so closely, you can be certain he has information they don't want getting out. With your, special talents, there's a possibility you can get in and out under the nose of the Gestapo.
All right. But my parachute training's rusty.
Major! We're screwed! You want to scrub the drop?
I'm going!
Welcome to France. You'll be leaving grand entrances, don't you?
Any entrance I survive is grand.
We have to get you to a safe place. Are you ready to run?
Always.
From international best-selling author Robert R. McCammon, a compelling tale of espionage and supernatural horror. The Wolf's Hour. In rich, vibrant, graphic audio. If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220 or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.